This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 6th, episode 1466, brought to us by the auditors, listeners like you. So thanks. Good morning, Horse World.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cussing this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I write a song. Everybody hears and they sing along. Hey, hey.
Well, happy day, everybody. Oh, my gosh, Glenn, the preparations and packing have begun. I'm doing my first horse trial that I've done in years. I'm so excited and still get nervous. I just, do you ever not get nervous for a horse show? Anybody out there? Hello? Is this thing on? Nobody?
No, absolutely not. Nervous for every horse show.
Even, I mean, just tiny little details. Like, I'm schooling him on Friday over the show jumps, and I'm like nervous about that.
Now, which horse are you taking? Zeus, the new Mustang?
I'm taking Zeus, the new Mustang, and I haven't competed since Edward. So it's been, I mean, it's been over a year since I've competed in a recognized, I've done little schooling events.
Did you take Thor anywhere?
I took Thor to a couple schooling horse trials.
Right, but not an actual.
No. And I meant to take Thor to this one, but when we cross country
school. But you
didn't
want to pay the bill for fixing all the jumps?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I didn't want to go to the hospital because he ran away with me. So we fixed the bolting in the arena, but not quite so much out on the cross country course. So that has, he just needed a little more
work.
When
do you guys have time to practice?
Oh my gosh. We ride at six. I ride at six Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Because that you can't do it any other time, right?
No, and since I didn't get to ride yesterday because I was on the jumping show, we all scheduled to ride yesterday evening. And I kept waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. Yeah, it didn't get under 104 until 9 p.m. You know what I do at 9 p.m.?
Go to bed.
Go to bed.
Yeah. That's what horse people do at 9 p.m.
I know. I tried. So we've got the big horse show. And I just am curious to know, maybe post this on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, the question of the day. Do you ever not get nervous for a horse show? It's days out. Days out. I don't compete until I do dressage Saturday afternoon, like late afternoon. Why am I nervous on Wednesday?
Do you know your dressage test? How you have it memorized?
I do. I know my test, but then you just gave me butterflies talking about it. Like, oh my God, do I track right at C or do I track left? And where's the 20 meter circle? I don't know. Yeah. So I do know the test.
Do you ever have it read to you?
You can't in eventing.
Oh, you can't? Okay.
No, only in dressage because they'll do five or six, you know, maybe different tests. So they don't expect you to remember all of those, but in eventing, you got one. If you're riding one horse, it's up to you. Yeah.
You know, I think Jennifer always remembered her test. It was the cross country and
you do not need to tell the story again.
No, I'm not
Glenn.
Going to. But that would be harder for me is remembering the stadium like 2 minutes before you're going to go in.
You know, at least in eventing, they will let you walk the course before,
true.
You know, but they'll say, okay, everybody come down and walk your horse while you're warming your horse up. And then you have to go, hey, can somebody hold my horse? And of course
exactly.
I'm always on the fire breathing dragon and nobody
wants to hold him.
Hey, anybody hold this monster? No takers? Cool. I'll watch everybody walk. Awesome.
You know, it's, and it's better if you're not the first one in, because at least you can then watch the where they're going.
Yeah.
You know, that helps. But if you're the first one in, you got to know it. It was just,
you got to know it. Yeah. There's, you always want to see everybody else riding it. And just,
now you're doing baby. Are the jumps like just laying on the ground or like ground poles?
No, I, you know, when I schooled him, I was thinking I'll do the little intro level, which is 2 foot, you know, just take him around there. But he was just such a rock star. And honestly, I haven't had that much fun running a cross country course since I owned my big warm blood years ago. So I was like, let's go beginner novice. Let's see what happens. And I just want to have fun and I want to get these Mustangs out there and I want people to see how awesome they are. And he's so cool and he's so fun and he's so like, he's just so amiable. Like his personality is like, okay, I'll do it. No problem. So I wanted to get him out there and challenge
besides,
myself.
It's 30 degrees cooler where you go.
Yes, that does not hurt. Sorry for all you loser horses. I have to stay home. I'm going up to see
Here's the scoop. Take extra hay along and go, oh, wow, sorry, got stuck in Coconino.
Got a flat tire, can't come home.
Well, if you remember, didn't have extra hay last time and I got stuck, and then people just gave me hay. So it's like free hay if you stay.
That's right. This was Coconino that you got they closed the road. Yeah.
Yeah, they closed the one
just
road.
Just 2 weeks ago.
Yep, 2 weeks ago. So.
You know, I was talking about you. This just whole story reminds me. I did an interview with School of Podcasting again this week with my friend Dave. And actually, he said I'm the only one in 9 years to be on 3 times. And the subject of co-hosts came up, and I said, you know who makes the perfect co-host is somebody whose life is a disaster. They make the absolute... I said, I have the most beautiful co-host on the morning show because her life is a train wreck, and that makes for the best stories. And he said, I never thought about that. And I said, yep, you just need to find a co-host whose life is a mess, and they're the perfect co-host. So... I gave you a shout out on the show.
You should have met me in my 20s. You think I'm a mess now? Woo! Dog, I don't know how I made it through. But yeah, so you just have to have a co-host who has plenty of activities to fail at.
That's right. Anyway, so you were the subject of the interview.
Wow. I'm blushing right now. That's so
you should
impressive.
Be so proud. Yes,
oh, I'm so
should.
Proud. Yeah, this is great. Jennifer, I would kill him if I was there. So why don't you go ahead and tell us what's coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's Wacky Wednesday edition, we're going to start out by geeking out on the world's smartest piece of tack, the Seaver Girth. And then next up, the Haggard Horse Health Report updates us on what's going on with Potomac horse fever. And then coming into the first turn, we've got Horse and Country TV's velvet voice, Victoria Spicer.
She promises she's going to introduce us. She promises. Yeah.
She's going to introduce us to the entire equestrian team for Great Britain for the Rio Olympics. And then at the wire, we're going to learn about a clinic opportunity with eventer Lindsay Graham in Ireland. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you very much, Jennifer, and it's time for Daily Winnies. Well, my Daily Winnie is one of these. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to my first co-host on the Horse Radio Network, whose life is pretty much always a train wreck also, and that's Helena B. It's
wow,
her birthday
happy birthday,
today.
You big mess.
She's an Italian mess, so so she does it with her hands. It's all
she's
just,
a fun mess.
Yeah, exactly.
My Daily Winnie goes out to Joy, or she is a listener of ours, and she was listening and was in the barn one night, and this happened. So I'll just read what she wrote on our Horses in the Morning Auditors Facebook page, right, Glenn? Is that where this came from? Okay. Proof that HRN is more than entertainment, it's a life tool. While closing my boarding barn tonight, I noticed one of the horses casted himself in the stall. I've never dealt with this before and have only heard horror stories of getting them up. I called the barn manager, but then remembered the episode of Hit'em that talked about casting. Luckily, it was not our Percheron Manford. Awesome name for a Percheron, by the
way. Yeah, it is.
But I was able to get the horse up thanks for the tips and tricks talked about on the show. So thanks, Glenn, Jamie, and Jen. I'm not sure what would have happened if I had to wait the extra hour for somebody to help me. I am so glad that we made a difference. That's fantastic. It's something that I unfortunately have dealt with a lot, and we talked about it, and it helped somebody. That makes me feel good. So, Daily Whitney to you.
I remember that came up in conversation one day, and then we had Dr. G on to talk about...
Well, I read a story, story on how to do it, and you guys were like, that is terrible.
We told you it was total crap, and pretty much Dr. G said it was total crap. So, yeah.
I
want to know what Joy actually did. We need a follow-up to that.
Come on, Joy. What'd you do? Did you do what I said, or what?
Details.
That whole doctor thing.
Yeah. And, you know, I always say that we're nothing but entertainment, but I'm glad to see we actually provide a service too. People actually learn something along the way. Have a few laughs and learn something along the way. And it is hard. I'm glad it wasn't your Percheron. You wouldn't have been doing it with one person. I got to tell you, you would have needed some help.
Get the tractor, Bob. Yeah.
Speaking of Percherons, they're going to be hooking up for the first time in 80 years. They actually hooked up 30 Percherons to 5 wagons up at the Calgary Stampede, and they did a run around the field and stuff with 30 Percherons hitched to 5 wagons. The record was set with 36 Percherons in 1924. But their parade, their big parade is coming up where all the horses are in the parade and all that stuff before the Calgary Stampede that goes through town there in Calgary. And they can't do, he wanted to break the record with 36, but he can't do it because the streets aren't big enough. So the turns have to be, you know, pretty wide. And they actually do hook up. So what he's going to do for the parade is he's hooking up 20 Percherons with 5 wagons. And the wagons are just connected to each other. And apparently they used to do wagon trains like that. It was like the first form of a tractor trailer truck. They used to haul grain and stuff like that with multiple wagons hooked up. So they're going to do that in the parade coming up. I think it's Thursday. 20 horses and 5 wagons in the parade.
So wait, the 20 horses are out front and then 5 wagons are...
all connected to each other. Yep.
That's
so
crazy.
So, and one guy driving with all those reins. So it should be interesting. And he looks like a Percheron guy. He's a big guy. And he looks like he could handle 20 horses. But they practiced with them and got them all hitched up and got all the tack. They had to borrow tack from, you know, several people because you need a lot of reins and a lot of everything. So
is that like when you start to look like your horses? Does he look like a Percheron?
Kind of. Was getting there. Yep. It's kind of getting there, but I admire him if he could drive 20. And they asked him, aren't you worried about the horses? Well, you know, the lead horse is a long way out there with 20. When we went to the World Percheron Congress, I sat on the wagon in the driver's seat. I didn't drive, but I sat beside the driver when we had 8 hooked up, 8 Percherons. And that is an unbelievable feeling and sight out in front of you because they're a long way out there. And when you got 20, I just can't imagine. And how long are those reins? Oh my God. He said, nope. He said, my horses are safe. You're more likely to get run over by the band in the parade than my horses. So he's pretty confident he isn't going to kill people. Now that's a little different than when Wendy and we tried to go in a horse parade once with her hitch of 3, and it didn't go so well. We had to bail out because we
really?
Were, we were trying to run over little children. So it was bad. The guy with us had to jump out and get him. She had 2 and 1. She had 2 hooked up in the back and then 1 in the front. And the front
Glenn,
one
were
was,
you that girl?
Oh, Wendy was that girl. I was just on board. But we had Horse Radio Network banners all over the wagon. All over the carriage, and it was embarrassing because the front horse was just rearing and carrying on. And, you know, you got to be a good parade. What you do in parades mostly is what? Sit still. you're stopped most of the time. Stop, go, yep. Stop, go, stop, go. And this horse was just having a meltdown in the front, rearing and carrying on. And little children were screaming. And finally, there was a side street. And we just yelled at everybody because they were all, you know, just sitting there in their chairs. But there was a side street we could get through. And we just yelled at everybody to move. And they saw what was going on. You should have seen those people move. And we just went quickly down the side street and got out of there. Before we killed someone. Yeah.
That girl. You're that girl. You're that girl, Glenn.
I was so. I said, Jennifer, quickly, take down the banners. Take the banners off. Quick.
It's like you telling me to take off that saddle pad.
We never let Wendy live it down either. To this day, we kid her about going in parades, and she's never allowed to again.
That's funny. That's funny. Well, hey, we've got our first guest here, and we've got Danielle from Seaver Smart Girth. And we talked about this girth a week ago, and I saw that there's a Kickstarter for it, and I just need to know more. So we've got Danielle here on the phone. Danielle, good morning.
Hi.
Hi. Now,
hi. Good afternoon here in Paris.
And we have another person from Paris, right? So is there two of you on the phone?
That's right.
good morning. I'm Pierre-Yves.
Pierre-Yves is our head technician. We were worried you'd be a bit disappointed that there was someone with an English accent, so we made sure to get someone very French as well.
We'll take whatever accent we can get, but a French man, I'm in.
I know, right? Why do you think I moved here? No, Pierre-Yves is our head technician. He's the magical man who makes all that technological magic happen. I only just have a very layman's understanding of it.
All right, well, PB, why don't you tell us a little bit about the girth? What is it?
So basically, it's like a regular girth. It's made out of very high quality leather, and all of our technology is embedded inside of it. So the idea is you just put it on as you normally would. You go, you do your ride, you do your training, and then afterwards you have all the data you could need on your smartphone. And we've also made a sleeve as well for those that don't want to change their girth. It's adaptable to any type of girth, Western girth, dressage girth, and it has all the same technology inside.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So tell us, so that answers the question, Jennifer. There is a sleeve and a girth. So the technology, what are we going to learn by using this smart girth?
So for something that affects all riders, whether casual or professional, is it shows your horse's respiratory rate and heart rate. So you can monitor your horse's health at all times. The more you use the technology, the better it gets to know your horse. And then that way, if any health anomalies occur, for example, an irregular heart rate or irregular breathing, or we also, our sensors are able to detect if a possible lameness could be occurring. It tells the riders straight away so that they can contact their veterinarian. For more specialist professional riders, for example, show jumpers, it shows the exact dimensions of your jump, your riding path, your fence approach. For dressage riders, which obviously it requires a very balanced training, it has left and right hand analysis, different time or percentages spent on different gates. And we know we've got a lot of Western riders out there. So, for example, it will show you your exact riding path, and it's great for improving your horse's cardio.
Okay, so it literally tattles on you. It tells whether hey, excuse me, you did, 20 minutes of trotting to the left, but you only did 4 minutes to the right. You know, you got to pay attention, or it gets as complicated as it tells you if you're riding better on one direction than the other two. So
exactly. And it also does comparisons of like the exact same training you've done. Like, so, you know, if you do the same riding path each time, it will show you the variables.
Now, I have a quick question.
I'm blown away.
So this, I assume, is connected. Hi there. I assume this is connected to your smartphone.
It is by Bluetooth. That way it's got a better battery life.
Okay, so is it live? So in other words, could I, if I could somehow attach my smartphone to the saddle, could I look down and see it happening live, or is this a report after?
On both. So we recommend that the riders keep their smartphone on them for a better accuracy of the data and a live streaming, and for example, to pick up all your speeds. But if not, you can hook the girth or the girth sleeve up to your phone later for a more precise analysis of all of the results.
Because we've seen this technology in other things, in halters and bridles, but it's usually at the horse's head, at the pole. And that's usually where we've seen it. But this one takes it a step further with actually the strides and knowing how fast you're going and all of that. Does it also track your speed? What I'm thinking about is endurance riders here also. Does it track?
Yes, no, definitely.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it tracks distance, average speed, max speed. And obviously what's so important for endurance riders is the cardio.
And of course, the question we always, sorry, Jamie, it's a tech thing, so I get,
I know me.
So the question is,
oh, well, Pierre is here for all the tech questions.
is it like my phone, the battery's going to die in about 2 minutes, or is it going to last longer than that?
we have made the thing to be usable for about 8 hours. So don't worry about the battery.
Okay, good. Now, plugging in your girth is a new concept at night, right? That's something you have to kind of wrap your head around. You have to charge your girth.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, go
ahead. But hey, the future's here.
Yeah, right.
So just to know, you can find out like what stride your horse is, the distance of striding between jumps, the breathing rate, mm-hmm. the balance, the distance mm-hmm. you go. Mm-hmm. How and explain mm-hmm. to me, and maybe PY, this is what you need to do, is to explain to me how the vertical and horizontal jump height part of this girth works. Mm.
Okay, so we have different sensors in the girth. So we have an accelerometer, gyrometer, magnetometer, and then we have some algorithm which can evaluate the height of the jump and the distance. But it's a secret, so I can't say the algorithm.
You could tell me, but then you'd have to kill me. Yeah, fantastic.
Exactly. We'll be sending people over right now.
Now, I have a student of mine who saw this girth and fell in love with it and is... You guys have a program to get people involved in this. Is that correct? Do you know
exactly.
What I'm talking
we
about?
We have an absolutely amazing team of young ambassadors throughout the world. We're basically looking for passionate horse riders who want to help us, who want to help us get the word out there.
Yes, she just got selected to be an ambassador. Yeah, that's the word.
Oh, really? Oh, oh, that's brilliant. Oh, no, we love our ambassadors so much. They do such good work for us, especially as we've only got 20 days left on our Kickstarter campaign, and it's the final push now.
Let's talk about that a little bit. Yeah. You're at $43,000 right now, a $56,000 goal, which is really good with 19 days to go. I mean, you're doing pretty good. We've helped other Kickstarters with a lot less time than that. And So what are these girths going to sell for? I noticed that the Kickstarter you can do for about $160, you can get the sleeve, but the actual girth itself.
That's right.
Yeah.
So retail price for the girth, when it actually comes out, we'll be retailing it from January onwards, is going to be 600 euros. So I imagine with the exchange rate, that's going to be about $615. But at the moment, if you're an early pledger on Kickstarter, you can get it for 50% off. And the same thing with the girth sleeve. That's currently, as you said, At about $130 on our Kickstarter, which again is 50% off the price we're going to retail it for in January.
Then I have a question. Why would I buy the girth when I could just buy the sleeve? Is there a difference between the two?
No, the technology is identical in both of them. They give exactly the same results. We really just wanted to create the sleeve for those who don't want to change their girth. Also because it's a little bit cheaper, maybe. We understand horse riding is quite an expensive sport at times.
At times? how about all the time? Sorry, Jamie. So I got another question for you. The girth sleeve itself, it doesn't put extra bulk between the girth and the horse. There's nothing poking them, I'm assuming.
No, it's okay. Very lightweight. It's made out of really high quality neoprene to stop any possible friction and so that it can adapt to any girth shape or type.
Well, that was my question, was can I use it on a monoflap saddle, which is like a shorter girth? I guess dressage girths are short. So do you have one that fits that?
Yep. Really, we've made sure it'll fit any type of girth.
Wow. Okay.
Dang, they thought this through.
They did. And looking at this, the website, you can go to seaverhorse.com, seaverhorse.com, and you can check this out. It's such a high-tech looking piece of equipment, too. It's really, really cool. And the sleeves, I don't know if I'm smart enough, though, to translate what all of these pieces of information I got are. You know what I mean? Like, do I need to take a class on what my horses should be, or is it pretty easy for you to realize where you're screwing up?
I think I will answer to this question. So we want to do a tool for people who doesn't know science or heart rate or anything, but we don't want to give you the information like that. We want to explain you the evolution of the horse. For instance, if your horse has a heartbeat which decreases, we can explain that your horse is better trained and for the amount of effort he did, etc.
Okay. I'm still a little confused.
No, but that's it. Sorry. And what Pierre is trying to say is basically we want the app to be as easy to use as possible, and it's not going to be, you know, measured in kilojoules or, you know, it's going to be simple, easy to understand. One of our products measures up to 5 horses. We've just tried to make it as user-friendly as possible.
Oh, that's
really
a good question. So you can set, okay, I'm riding Tommy today. Tomorrow I'm riding Sammy, and I can set which horse I'm riding, and it'll keep track of those separately.
Exactly.
And how long does it keep the history for the horses that you're riding?
All of the information is stored indefinitely on our server.
Okay, so that's stored in the cloud as opposed to on the phone?
Yep, and on the phone, it's stored for up to 3 months.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that was my question.
This is really, really cool. I really like this.
You guys can
check it out at seaverhorse.com, seaverhorse.com, and I believe there is a link to there. Yep, there's a link right on the front to the Kickstarter where you can read a little bit more about how you can get
All
involved.
Right. I have one more important question, Jamie, before we wrap this up. I'm a geek.
Hit us.
I'm a geek, so you know this kind of stuff I love. How tough is it? Because you know, the horse stuff gets thrown around, it gets stepped on, it gets beat around, and I'm just picturing every horse girl I know's screen is cracked on their cell phone. Jamie, is yours currently cracked?
Well, yeah.
See, everyone is cracked. So I'm just wondering how long this is going to last. Is it waterproof? Is if you leave it out or you ride in the rain, what's going to happen? You know what I'm asking.
Is it going to last?
Go on, Pierre.
So the girth is made to be very resistant. So there is a carbon who protects the electronic components. And then it's waterproof You know, so you can go into water, not for swimming, but just a little time. You can pass some water with your horse, and there is no problem with the technology.
So the eventers that are going through streams or endurance riders go through, you know, just
exactly.
Or through water jumps and things like that. They do get wet. And
exactly.
Yeah. So as long as you're not...
No need to worry about splashback.
Okay. Good. Or as long as you're not swimming. So it's water resistant anyway. Good. All right, good.
And it's easy to clean, everything like that. Can you just hose it off? Or
the only warning I would have for people that buying the sleeve, if your horse has a problem with neoprene, then this would not be a product. You might want to go for the girth itself, because the girth itself doesn't have neoprene, right?
No, it's made out of very high quality leather. It's okay. Just like a traditional classic girth.
Because there's a lot of horses that are allergic to neoprene and have a problem with it. So then they would just go with the girth itself and then could do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, very cool. Look, you've got two more since we were on the air right now.
Oh my gosh, yay!
This is cool.
Thank you so much.
Guys, I'm looking through everything and it looks like it's pretty easy to try to track and follow. And so my student who just got accepted to be an ambassador, I'll encourage her to spend the money and get the dang girth. Do it, girl.
So you can use it.
Thank you so much. That's what we love to hear.
I want to use it.
Yeah, that's right. So you can use it.
Of course.
Thank you, guys. Good luck with this. One last question. Is it available in the United States and all over, or what's the story?
All over. Worldwide shipping, €15 at the moment, and then we'll have it online in our store from January onwards. And and we're looking for distributors at the moment, so.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much. Good luck with it.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
All right, you guys.
Have a good day.
Jennifer's going to post a link to that on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning, and we'll also put a link in our show notes at horsesinthemorning.com. So cool. I'm glad you got them on. They were delightful. And Jennifer's
cool.
Writing in the back. My wife is writing in the background. Ooh, geek speak in a French accent sounds really good.
Yeah.
So does that mean I have to learn to speak French now?
I didn't understand what he said really, but I was listening intently. That's for dang sure. I just imagined what he looked like, and I'm like, he's beautiful. I don't even know who he is.
Yeah.
I was online looking for pictures of him on their website.
I was actually trying to concentrate on what he was saying, and I did get about three quarters of it, I think.
I don't care what he said. I'm buying. No, that's terrible. You guys are listening back to this leader, and they're going to be like, they're jerks. Okay, sorry. The girth is really awesome.
Hey, we really did. I mean, we added two while we were talking. I looked at it at the beginning, and at the end, we added two, so they're not going to be too unhappy.
Okay, good.
You know what? It is an expensive item, so obviously you're going to have to, you know, be serious about your trail riding, your riding, you know, your riding in general to do this. The sleeve makes more sense because people do get attached to the type of girth. Like if you have a total saddle fit girth, I think it'll work because it's neoprene, and you know, people do like the girths they like, right, and the style they like. So I can see where the sleeve might be more popular.
Well, I just was thinking, you know, I can't throw that long girth on my short saddle. When you have a monoflap saddle, you have to use a short girth,
right?
Like a monoflap girth. So
I wonder if the neoprene, I would think all the technology is in the bottom part, you know, the part that's under the horse. I don't know if you can cut the neoprene so it's out of the way. It looked longer.
Well, they
than
said
it
goes for dressage horses too. So
yeah. I don't know.
It probably
did
just
you see
make it in different sizes.
And I don't even know if it says on the website yet whether it comes in sizes. I didn't see that. So there were so many more questions. When you start a technology segment, I'm going to interrupt.
You should have let it. I should have just sat back and listened.
It's just, you know me. That's geek speak right there.
I gotta say, though, this is probably the most thoroughly and well thought out Kickstarter we've had on the show yet.
The video is very good.
She was right there. Answer for everything.
Yeah, the video is really good too. Go see the video because that helps a lot. The video does help a lot, and it really shows. Now, the thing that impressed me here is we've had them on this show, right? Talking about the halter thing, and there was a bridle one that attached to the top of the bridle. This one, but those didn't count strides. They didn't. The whole vertical thing
is robust.
Yeah,
it's really robust.
That's what I was asking. Like, how can they tell, like, if my horse is jumping more vertically or is it jumping more horizontally over things? Yeah, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
It is important what she said, too. We didn't elaborate on this, and I don't know if everybody picked this up, but you don't have to have your phone with you connected to the Bluetooth for it to work. It apparently is storing it locally in the girth, and then you can connect your phone later. So if your phone's battery's dead, you can still use your girth.
This just doesn't make sense. This whole thing, just ridiculous. I don't understand it, and it scares me.
But, you know, I can see for eventers and endurance riders especially. Now, if the battery's only 8 hours, it's probably not going to last for a whole 100-mile endurance ride. It'll do a 50 and a 25 for sure. But for somebody like Karen, this would be a godsend, to being able to look at it while she's going.
But mainly, I think for endurance riders, it would be for when you're training. You know, when you're trying to get fit for it, when you're training up to it, you don't have to wear it for the actual ride. It's because you got a vet every couple feet, you know, checking heart rate.
It basically takes that little thing the little computer you attach to your bike when you're riding your bike, and it gives you all this information about speed and distance and all that stuff, and makes it for horses. And
that's hilarious that you think I'm going to ever ride a bike. Hilarious.
I'm just saying.
Like, I see people, my arena's right by the road, and I see people riding by it. I'm like, why would you do that? This is so much better.
Well, I got to tell you about something else too that is available right now. They're having a contest to give away an Ovation Cool Rider Zip Mock shirt and an Ovation Milano breeches right now, worth about $150 between the two of them. And we'll post a link to it on our Facebook page, but Ovation Riding is doing that right now. And they give away stuff all the time over there. And you know how much we love their products. We're having the Ovation Milano breeches are being reviewed by one of the auditors right now. And of course, we use the helmets and I use the boots. You guys use the boots too. I love my boots. I got to tell you, the country boots, the tall boots, I use those all the time. We're getting a lot of rain right now here in Florida, and we'll have inches of standing water. And you know what's funny now when I wear my country boots is I walk through the water just because I can.
I walk on water.
No, I walked through the water. I had them on the other day. We had a lot of rain, like 3 inches in an hour. And we had pretty much a pond in the arena. And I brought Scooter out to see if he wanted to do one of his famous rolls. And I was able to get in there with him because I had my boots on. So
did
I just
you roll with him?
No,
did
I didn't roll with him. I didn't roll with him, but I stayed. Boy, he had a blast. He was rolling and splashing and kicking. He thought we put that pond out there just for him. So awesome. Check it out right now. We'll post a link to that on our Facebook page to the contest. But if you want to look at all the different products that Ovation Riding has, stop over to ovationriding.com. You can get them at most of your local tack shops. You can buy them online. Everybody carries the Ovation products, and we appreciate them being a sponsor here of the Horses in the Morning Show, especially because we already use a bunch of their products. We love their products.
I'm like a total Ovation girl. I was so excited. It was like Christmas when you told me they were going to sponsor our show, because I'm just such an Ovation fan. Between the helmets and the shirts, I have so many of those Cool Rider shirts. I just love everything. I already had the boots. I got some more boots. I'm an Ovation girl for sure.
Very good. Well, while we're waiting for our next guest, I just wanted to mention, and this is
I got a cool story for you whenever you want one.
Well,
but you go ahead.
Let's talk about Napoleon's last horse. He's getting a makeover. Apparently, Napoleon's last horse was stuffed and stuck in the back of the Louvre for a long time. His horse was named...
Are you just telling a random story about Napoleon Bonaparte?
Yes. His last horse name was Le Viseur. something like that.
You should have the French guy.
Yeah, I know. I wish I would ask the French guy. He would have been able to say it. But this was the last horse apparently used for a lot of campaigns, except for the campaign, you know, where he went and got himself killed. He had retired the horse just before that, thank God.
Le Vizier.
Yeah. Well, the horse has been sitting around not doing very well. They stuffed him, and apparently he had been restuffed one time in the history. This is a 200-year-old stuffed horse here. And he had been stuffed one other time. They had tried to fix him, but he's been sitting in the back of a warehouse now for like 40 years. So they took him out and they've been doing work on him so they can display him again. And I want you to take a look at the picture, Jamie, of his stuffed horse. That is one ugly stuffed horse, I gotta tell you.
It's like, I mean, I know Napoleon was supposed to be short, right?
Yeah,
like,
but this is an Arabian, actually. Old. He rode Arabians. And it was a gift from one of the sultans, this particular horse, which was one of his favorites. It was a gift from one of his sultans.
Oh!
It's really gross.
Cringing. I'm cringing. I think if the horse looked like that, and I'm shocked that a general was riding. Oh.
And personally, I don't want to see that thing in a museum. I really don't.
It looks like a foal. I mean, it looks like a yearling. With this real, like that awkward yearling
face.
Well,
Napoleon was pretty short, remember? He was about your size. So he was a little guy. Yeah. Well, this was a little Arabian horse that I think has shrunk over the last 200 years, too. Because it kind of does look like a baby.
That's really weird. I know.
It's kind of a gross. I wanted you to gross out this morning, which is why.
It's really gross. Yeah. Hey, I've got a better story. We've got the doctor here. We've got Dr. Brown on the phone with us, one of my favorite doctors to speak with. Dr. Brown, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you this morning?
We are great. Now, usually we talk to you and you're an intern in the medicine department, but now I hear you're full up hired to Haggard's.
That's true. So I recently got hired in the internal medicine department here at Haggard to
Yay!
Be one of the big kids.
Congratulations.
And now they still Thank make you. You do this, huh? Even though you're not an intern anymore, you got to come on and talk to us.
She has to suffer through us. She's still in probation. That. See, yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit today about the Potomac horse fever. I've been reading stories that some horses have been coming down with it. First, tell us about the Potomac horse fever, because I don't know what it is.
Okay. So Potomac horse fever is something we see sort of in this area pretty commonly. They don't see it all over the United States. All over the United States, but certainly Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, Northeast areas, we see it routinely. It's a bacterial infection that horses get usually after ingesting some kind of intermediate host. And those are some usually aquatic flying insects, so caddisflies, mayflies, damselflies, things like that.
They eat a bug? That's how they get it? They eat a bug?
Yeah, they have to eat that bug. Oh. And sometimes they can eat also some snails as well that they may find sort of in the pasture. But usually it's the aquatic insects that they
So escargot is bad for
water
them
bucket.
Too?
Glenn, her finish, please.
I said, Glenn's... so escargot. We're on French. We just talked to a French guy. So you said they were eating snails, and I thought of escargot. See, that's where I went with that.
But, exactly.
Yeah.
So no horsey escargot for these ones.
Gross.
But the insects, you know, they can eat them. It's weird because they don't just go around just catching insects, but in their water buckets or in the hay or on the ground, they can ingest these intermediate hosts. And the typical clinical signs that we see, most often diarrhea, they're anorexic, they're lethargic, they just don't feel good, they have fevers, and sometimes the fever is the only thing we see, and they don't get diarrhea as a result. And then sort of the worst case scenario is this is one of those diseases that can cause horses to founder pretty quickly, and unfortunately pretty severely in some cases. And so that's probably the most devastating part of this disease condition that we deal with.
So the Potomac horse fever, it's kind of in the eastern United States. They get it from eating a bug. Now, would that bug live through like being hayed? Would it be in the hay? Or can they not get it if it's dried up?
Yeah, I mean, if it's completely dried up, they won't get it. But you know, sometimes they'll die. You know, they'll get sort of zapped in the lights or something and fall into the hay, and then that's possible again if they're in the water buckets, if they're drinking from a pond or a water source outside. And that's sort of a good point in terms of usually these horses have some kind of history of being near water. Because a lot of these aquatic insects can't fly that far away from the water source. Okay. And so, you know, when we question these owners, usually there's either like a pond or a lake or a creek or something, at least in the vicinity of the horse's environment. Not always, but a lot of the time. So that's sort of unique to these horses.
So you can prevent it, though, because there's a vaccine for this, right?
There is a vaccine, and in most cases, it does help decrease some of the clinical signs of disease. Does it always prevent disease in 100% of cases? No. But I do think in some of these areas where we see Potomac really commonly, we can at least help decrease some of the worst signs of disease. But it's not 100% effective, just like most vaccines. But it can help sort of with the clinical signs.
Oh my gosh. I'm never moving out of Arizona ever.
Arizona is probably one of those states that does not have Potomac. So very lucky in that area.
Yeah, sure. That's great. We just die of sun poisoning, but whatever.
Rattlesnakes.
Rattlesnakes.
Scorpions.
Hey, there's vaccines for that too. So Dr. Brown, what can you to prevent your horse from coming down with Potomac horse fever? Are there any things that you can do in the environment to prevent it?
So besides the vaccine, I think that some of the things that we talk about is just minimizing the horse's exposure to those flying aquatic insects. And so little things like turning the barn lights off at night so that the bugs aren't attracted to the lights, moving the lights so that they're not right above a water source or right above their feed buckets, things like that. Again, turning fans on so that the insects can't fly as well. You know, just limiting their exposure or limiting their, you know, if there's a creek or a paddock near their barn, obviously you can't just change barns or move, but that certainly does increase their risk. And so maybe in those situations, making sure that those horses are vaccinated. And this disease just, you know, again, because of the insect intermediate host, we see this disease sort of summer and fall. This year, I think we've seen it a little bit earlier than we're used to because we've already seen a few cases here in the hospital. Usually it's more late summer and fall. So I think anytime the weather starts to warm up, you've got to be on the lookout for this condition.
Is it deadly? Is it treatable? Or is it going to change your horse for forever?
Well, you know, It's one of those diseases that I think can come in any sort of variety. So the sort of the best form of disease, I guess, is your horse gets a fever, and that's the only clinical sign we see, and that goes away pretty quickly, or can. In the worst cases of disease, they get really bad diarrhea, they get really high fevers, and then they can founder. And I think in a lot of those cases, the founder happens very quickly and very severely, and unfortunately, that can be very life-threatening for these horses. And even if you can get them through the diarrhea and the fever, sometimes the laminitis or the founder is what ultimately gets these horses.
So
that can be really hard to prevent or correct.
So this kind of the secondary parts of the disease is what actually will kill them, sadly.
Exactly.
So if the horse is vaccinated, probably more towards the fever end of it. And then if the horse is unvaccinated, more towards the severe end.
Exactly. And sometimes we do see really severe disease in those horses that have been vaccinated. Usually it's the horses that are unvaccinated that get the worst clinical signs.
Well, you know, as much as we love providing education for everybody, we also equally love terrifying everybody. And I think that this has done both.
Good. I'm glad I could help with that.
I don't even live near that. I'm scared of it now. Stupid bugs. I'm going to reroute every creek. I'm going to get out there with a shovel. I'm going to dig around. No, I'm just kidding. This has been great information. Dr. Brown, congratulations on becoming an associate with Haggard's. We wish you the very best and can't wait to talk to you again. Any final words on Potomac horse fever? Or did we cover it?
You know, I think there's one other, I guess, at-risk group that I just want to mention so that people are aware, and that's that this disease process can cause abortions as well in pregnant mares. And so I think that's one thing to keep in mind if you do have some abortions, just to keep that on the back burner. It's not one that we, you know, think about routinely, but it's there, and just to make sure that you're thinking about it with your pregnant mares.
Pregnant mares should be taken care of. Excellent. Well, thank you, Dr. Brown. You have a wonderful day, and go, you know, have fun in Kentucky. It's beautiful right now.
Will do. I hope you guys have a good day as well.
Right, thanks, Dr. Brown.
I just get jealous of people in Kentucky. I do. I'm sorry, Dr. Brown. I do.
You know what I've determined, being a chronic Lyme disease guy, is that bugs are nasty. That's what I've determined. I don't like bugs.
Bugs are bad.
Bugs just... Okay. Every time we have a story on here, it's never a good story about a bug.
Oh my God. So this one time, this like huge giant flying insect landed on my horse and bit him, and he's like superpower and grew wings. It was amazing. So now I totally have this Pegasus. It's like awesome, and I can fly around because this bug dropped down and bit him. Said no one ever.
Ever. Exactly. Exactly. All right.
And
let's
then this one time, it's like a break for a song. My horse, and like he never colics now. It's amazing.
Hey, you know what we get to do tomorrow? We get to record a special musical episode. We haven't done one of those in a while.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
With Jared Rogerson. Now, there's a song off of his old CD. We're going to talk about his new CD tomorrow, but there's a song off his old CD called Campfire.
We're having an album release party.
We are. That's what we're going to do tomorrow. We're having an album release party. That'll be fun. So we're gonna play a song off his old CD, and then you're going to hear all the new ones coming up. I don't know when exactly that episode's going to come out, but we are recording it tomorrow, and Jamie's so excited. So
I'm smitten.
We bring in that
smitten tea. With that cowboy.
I think I'm just going to put myself on mute and let you two talk.
No, you'll get nothing done. He'll hang up is what he'll do. So come on.
Jared Rogerson, Campfire is what this one's called.
A couple sticks, or a lighter and some gasoline, get a little steel wool and a 9-volt battery. There's 100 different ways to make that blue, orange, red, and yellow. Then build it up as warm and bright as a couple million candles. Campfire, Mother Nature's light, a campfire. Means we can stay right here tonight. I love the way your perfume mingles with the smell of burning pine of a campfire. Marshmallow, brown as your summer skin, one lucky fellow that you ended up here with. We can stare at the embers and sit real close like this. Do you feel that burning in your heart and in your shins? Campfire, Mother Nature's light, a campfire. Means we can stay right here tonight. I love the way your perfume mingles with the smell of burning pine of a campfire. Campfire. that flame. It's you, girl, that makes those blue jeans look so hot. When you find true love, well, it's like a flame is strong enough to start in the rain. And when that hard wind blows, the spark of true love grows and just burns hotter and hotter. Campfire, Mother Nature's light, a campfire means we can stay right here tonight. I love the way your perfume mingles with the smell of burning pine of a campfire.
Jared Rogerson. You can find all his music at jaredrogerson.com. And he has about, I think, 3 or 4 CDs now. So you can go find him on iTunes or go to his website. Wherever you buy your music, Amazon, you'll find his music. Well, while we're waiting for Victoria, you had a news story. A little less gross than my stuffed horse.
Your news story was disturbing. And odd. And I just wanted to do this really beautiful news story. I know you're going to be shocked, but it's about Mustangs and the military.
I'm shocked.
So I just wanted you to know that, did you know that there is the U.S. Marine Corps, Marine Corps has a color guard?
Yes. And it's out of California, based in California, right?
Did you know that all of those horses in the color guard are Mustangs?
Yes. I did.
Well, look at you. For those who didn't know, Glenn, you can just go get a cup of coffee or something. Those of you who didn't know, in 1967, the U.S. Marine Corps formed a mounted color guard. I'm sorry, I don't speak Marine very well, so I'm having a hard time. But they purchased 4 Palomino horses, domestic horses from Utah and California, and they made a Palomino color guard. Well, as it's continued to go on in the years, they make lots of public appearances. And in 1985, they were actually in the Parade of Roses, really, really cool. And then at some point, I'm trying to find out the year, they decided to go directly to the BLM Mustangs, and they started adopting the Mustangs. Check this out. Do you know who trains the BLM Mustangs, Palominos, that are used in the color guard for the U.S. Marine Corps? Glenn,
oh,
Mr.
Sorry.
Know-it-all? Anybody?
Sorry, I was on mute. No, actually.
Well, they are trained in Carson City, Nevada at the prison.
Really?
That's where Zeus came from. Isn't that neat?
Your horse could have been a Marine. Instead, he stuck with you.
Well, they're not Palomino, so they lose. Okay. I wouldn't have bought them if they were Palomino. Two horses get sunburned out here in Arizona. So very, very cool. It's really neat that they have that, and they really are out promoting the breed, and they all came from Carson City, Nevada prison. Really, really
There have
neat.
Been a lot of stories here recently in the news about prison programs. I don't know if there's more prison programs or they're just writing more stories about them, but we're hearing a lot more about them right now.
Yeah, I just found out there's one in Arizona, and they have...
Is there one in Arizona?
Uh-oh. Yes, it's quarterly adoptions in Arizona. I shared the news story about it. They actually, in Carson City, they don't use inmates that have ever committed violent crimes, like murders and rapes, things like that. Well, I was looking at this, and I'll share it on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page because it's such a cool, it's like a 10-minute video that you will not be able to stop watching. It's really, really good. And one of the guys that works with the horses committed murder. And I didn't know that they had violent criminals, but so there's a place in Arizona that does quarterly adoptions of saddle trained Mustangs.
Very cool.
First of all, that's dangerous for my marriage.
Yes, it is.
Second of all, I cannot believe I drove 2 days one way.
Twice or three times.
Twice. Oh, just kidding.
Yeah, you wouldn't have been able to stop in Vegas, all that fun time you had in Vegas.
Oh, my gosh. I had the best time on those trips. It was such an epic adventure, and I met lots of fun people. So.
And there, this one's, what, 2 hours away, right?
Like, probably less. It's like literally in my backyard. It's like right now. I'm just kidding. It's super close though compared to driving for 4 days.
Well, let's head to our next guest. Busy one today. Her vacation is over. Back to work.
Now it's time for the European Chop, Report with Horse and Country TV.
Victoria, we missed you.
Ah, oh, well, I miss you too. I'm sorry. It's been a hectic few weeks.
Yeah.
One thought you quit.
But I'm back.
One thought you quit.
I thought you quit and you left and you were never coming back again.
Oh. No, just, into manic summer season and always short staff. So.
Well, you had that little show that you had to organize and kind of run. And then just a whole bunch of things going on over there. I noticed, and it's so exciting. It's an exciting time of year. Oh, wait a minute. I should have this music playing in the back. It's an exciting time of year when we do the Olympic updates, and you have a big one out of England.
Yes, we do. So our dressage show jumping and eventing team was named yesterday. So they had a big launch and nobody got to know who was on the team until all the athletes appeared. And so, we know who's going to Rio now from Britain.
And honestly, I've never heard of any of them. Never.
You guys don't have a chance. You're gonna come in last in all three.
I think we should get a special mention for our show jumping team, of which we have, I think the combined age is something like 207 years old of our show jumping team. That's not a joke. That is quite an accurate depiction. And
that's awesome.
And Nick Skelton, this will be his 7th game, John Whitaker his 6th, and Michael Whitaker only 5. So
maybe.
Yeah.
Well,
they're pretty experienced.
Let's run through the teams. We got the eventing team and William Fox Pitt, after coming back from his injury, makes the team.
Yeah, so I was a little bit surprised by this because obviously he did have that terrible accident at the end of last season, and he's returned to top level eventing, but he missed badminton, so he didn't get to defend his title, and we haven't seen him at 4-star level for a while, so quite a big ask, but obviously the horse has got incredible form and William's been a linchpin of the team, so he's back on it.
And that's Chilly now, Morning, right?
Yes, so his badminton winner, one of the few stallions to compete at the very top level, and he's an ultra consistent horse. So I have every faith in Chili.
I have a question. I just perused an article saying that he actually considered retiring.
Yeah, I mean, I remember probably about 8 years ago, one of my former colleagues interviewed him and he talked about one day he'll retire and he's going to train racehorses instead of doing all this eventing. And they ran with the story with it and he wasn't impressed and was then very adamant that he's not retiring. So, I mean, I guess if there was a time for him to retire after his head injury, he's not in the first flush of youth and he's got nothing to
prove
anymore.
Old eventers never retire. Look at Bruce. I mean, they just keep going and they die on their horses. That's what happens to old eventers.
Well, it's bizarre because obviously Mark Todd and then Blythe Tate, the New Zealand rider, has come back to compete at 4-star level recently. So they all come back, whereas people like Ian Stark and Lucinda Green quite sensibly stopped eventing.
But they coach and design courses. I mean, it's not like they left the sport. Yep. Like, she's on tour in the U.S. all the time, and Ian is in California at Galway Downs designing the courses. They're so busy, but they did, you're right. Stop being
speaking of which, on the eventing team is Kitty King. Is that Mary King's daughter?
No, slightly okay. Confusingly. So she was Kitty Boggess and she married a King.
Okay.
That's Emily King, who did very well at badminton until she had a crunching fall too from home. And Emily's not on the team. Sadly, her top horse has been injured and maybe it's come a little bit too soon for her as well. She's still very young. Kitty is making her Olympic debut, as are Gemma and Izzy. So compared to our show jumping team of old timers, we've got three debutantes on this team.
Yeah, it's Izzy Taylor and Gemma Tattersall.
Yes, now Gemma did very well at badminton and finished best of the Brits with her other horse, Arctic Soul. But it's with her other two that she's been selected. So it's great for Gemma. She's a local rider to me and a lovely girl. So it's nice to see her do well.
How exciting for all of them to pack up on a plane and go to South America, too.
Exactly. I mean,
yeah. And it might be exciting, depending on how things go over there. It could be very exciting.
Yes, indeed.
Dressage. Now, you got that girl, you know. I don't know. What's her name again?
Charlotte. She's great, great to place on the team.
Yeah. Charlotte Desjardins, back again with Vallegro. Just, can we just give her the medal now and just save her the trip?
It is quite tempting, but Carl has said that Vallegro might retire after Rio, even though he's not particularly old yet. I think he's about 14, so he could easily keep going for another 3-4 years at the top level. But he has said this could be his last big championship, which I think would be quite gutting. It's taken us like 60 years to find a horse that can win every medal going, so I think I'd be tempted to keep him for as long as physically possible. But Carl is obviously much more of a generous horseman than I am. So yes, Charlotte and Vallegro could be the last time we see them at this championship level. And Carl, of course, with Nip Tuck. And then Fiona Bigwood, who Carl trains, and Spencer Wilton, who used to live with Carl, and they were together for a long time. And so he was kind of Carl's protege.
Carl's ex is coming?
Yes. He's on the team. So Spencer was his kind of, well, they lived together and he was his protege before Charlotte. So
so this entire team is made up of Carl's barn.
Yes, basically. Barn past and present. So Fiona Bigwood, actually, I mean, she trains with Carl, but you guys have to check out her yard. It is the most phenomenal yard I've ever seen. It's just mint. So definitely worth having a Google and checking out the photos online.
Well, it's obvious you guys are going to suck at dressage, so we'll move on to jumping.
Yes, indeed. Now, we were disappointed, obviously, because we don't have any Scott Brash on the team, and I'm personally quite gutted about that, but his two
being
best
Scottish
horses,
and all.
Yes, exactly. You know, our token gold medalist isn't going. His two best horses are off and haven't returned to full fitness yet. And his third string that was nominated, I think the general consensus is he's just not ready for a big championship yet. So no Scott, which is a bit gutting and has given our medal hopes a bit of a dash.
But you got Nick Skelton, Ben Mayer. I mean, we're talking between the two of them, what, 22 Olympic Games or something? It's just...
It is. Yeah. There is a lot. And you're testing my math here, but
I think Skelton's. This is going to be his seventh.
Yeah.
Ben, I'm trying to see here.
He's done three. So he's done.
So we got 10
Beijing
between them.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, 10 between them, and then 6 and 5 from the Whitakers. So 21. That's quite a lot. 21 Olympic Games.
No experience there.
I was feeling really good about the U.S.'s chances until I just heard that statistic.
But like people like Laura and Beasy must, are they? They're both on the team, right?
Yeah,
are they?
Yeah.
They must have quite a few Olympics between them by now.
Yeah, they do.
Girl, we're going to have to come up with some sort of wager for who's going to win in show jumping, because I just feel like our team is going to be awesome.
Yeah, I think we have a good team this year, and we have a chance of actually... Now, dressage, we're not wagering dressage.
I said nothing about dressage and eventing. Yes. I specifically said jumping.
Yeah.
I think British hopes are ridiculously high based on what happened in London 2012, and I think we need to remember there was so much focus on the home Olympics, and everybody had, you know, their horses aimed exactly for London, and we had more horses coming in than we'd ever had before. Like, everybody was breeding and buying them in the run-up to the games, and we did the job. We got team gold in the jumping and the dressage, we got individual gold and bronze in the dressage, and we got in team silver in the eventing. And so if you'd said to us before London 2012 that's what we were going to get, we would have been delirious. And now coming up to Rio, there just doesn't seem to be the same buzz, and I just can't imagine that.
Well, I think do you think that part of that is, and we've talked about it every day, I heard you guys talk about it yesterday on the jumping show, Jamie, do you think it's because everybody's just a little nervous about Rio?
It could be, or it could be there was just so much more build up. You know, we followed every minute of the run up to the games.
Because it was in London, yeah.
Yeah, and the discussion about venues, and there was so much topic, and we went to the test event, whereas this does all seem quite far removed. And yeah, I mean, people are still determined to get there, and there's nothing like competing at Olympics, but I don't think we'll be replicating quite the same levels of success that we did, but I would be delighted to be proved wrong.
Now, are you going as a journalist?
I am not. No, we didn't get press accreditation, and actually I'm quite glad I'm not going to go get poisoned by the water
or bitten by
mosquitoes. Yeah. I mean, obviously it would be amazing to be there, and I've actually always wanted to go to Rio, so it would have been a good thing to do, but a little part of me is a bit relieved I'll be at home watching on TV.
Yeah, it's funny because I am reading stories every day. There was a major story in the New York Times or somewhere yesterday that they sent people down, and they're coming back with all the doom and gloom reports too. It just seems like everybody that goes down there does not come back with positive reports.
Oh dear, that's not good.
The police are on strike in Rio because they haven't been paid in like 6 weeks. And
oh gosh.
the crime has gone through the roof because the police are on strike. And apparently people getting off the airplane to go in and check out Rio, some of the athletes that were heading down early and stuff, were getting greeted by the striking police with big signs that say Rio is hell.
Oh dear.
And that was being held by the police. So there you
That's
go.
Not ideal. I mean, they did have the Soccer World Cup a couple of years ago, and it was fine. I think, it was okay. We didn't hear too many horror reports, but, you know, the Olympics is something else. But there was a lot of doom and gloom about London 2012 and the run-up to it, and actually
I think there
brilliant.
Is every Olympics and every World Equestrian Games, right? They're saying the same thing right now in Canada, that they're out of money, that, you know, things aren't being built. And
you have to realize, too, that yes, I mean, I lived in Atlanta when the Olympics were in Atlanta. And oh my God, the venues aren't going to be done. Where are people going to park? Where are they? There was no like, wow, people are going to die.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, it's just a little bit different, a little more stressful. And I think it's going to be fine in the end. But oh man, it's not the one I would want to go to.
No. And I thought WEG in France was the tough going, but it seems to be a whole different ball game.
You know what, though? When everybody goes to Canada, they're all nice up there. There won't be any crime problem. You'll be good. Canada will be fine.
I'm sure it will.
It'll be the opposite of Rio. It'll be the opposite of that. Now, one story here I want to talk to you about real quick before we go. And because I, you know, owned an acting company for 10 years doing medieval feasts and worked at the Renaissance fairs and stuff. And I saw this story about a lady knight that is going to be doing full contact jousting over there.
Yes, indeed. She's part of an international team, a husband and wife team that are taking part in a jousting tournament in Arundel Castle, which is this really beautiful castle on the south coast. So I think it's right up your street, Glenn. I think you have to come over.
I'll tell you what, you know, when we do jousting over here, it's kind of in the middle of a field and they build a list and it looks pretty, you know, amateurish. When you guys do jousting, I'm looking at the picture, there's an actual castle right there. So, I mean, it makes a difference. Yeah. I think when you're doing it in front of an actual castle that might have had a joust.
It does indeed.
Oh my God, can you please tell me that her name is Brienne of Tarse? I need to know.
No. Marie Baron. It sounds quite medieval.
Brienne of Tarse, I have sworn allegiance to Catherine Stark. And those who have seen Game of Thrones know what I'm talking about. There you go.
I've seen the first half series. So.
I think I want to come over and do a tour of England of all the. Do you guys have a lot of Renaissance festivals like this, like we do?
I think they do, but I think it's a bit like horsey events that unless you are part of them, you wouldn't have a clue that they're going on. So, yes, I'm sure they do exist. There's lots of like medieval reenactment groups.
Read between the lines, Glenn. She's like, yeah, nerds do it.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what she was trying to say politely in her polite Scottish way.
Yeah. No.
Okay, let's get back to this bet before we have to go. And then we have to call Ireland next. We're in France. We're now in England. We have to call Ireland next. This is an international show today. So now let's get back to this bet. You know, usually when there's wagers like this, it involves food. And being that Jamie's a vegetarian, I think if England wins, Jamie has to eat your Scottish haggis.
That seems a particularly cruel thing.
And you have to then be a vegetarian for a month.
Oh, God. I'd starve.
She thinks that's worse.
Yes. No, I
Victoria.
Actually, you can get really nice vegetarian haggis. I think vegetarian haggis is nicer than normal haggis.
Haggis.
If there's vegetarian haggis, I'm in. Otherwise, we're going to... You and I will figure out something as it gets closer.
You don't like my idea, huh?
No,
neither one of you like my idea.
You're a man. We don't listen to men when it comes to stuff like this. Victoria and I'll have a nice British, happy, you know.
For some reason, with the two of you, I think it's going to be bottles. There'll be bottles involved for some reason.
I don't know what you mean.
Absolutely not. We would never.
Never.
Well, Victoria, it's been fun. Thanks for joining us again. We really appreciate it.
Oh, it was lovely to be back, and I hope you guys have a great week.
All right, and we'll be talking about this Olympic thing.
I have a joke for Victoria. Oh, okay. I'm gonna leave you with this joke, okay? And then we'll hang up on you, so you don't have to pretend that you were gonna laugh. Okay, so Bruce Davidson and Mark Todd, both classic eventers, they're at an old folks' home, and they're both sitting on the porch on rocking chairs. And Bruce Davidson turns to Mark Todd and says, Mark, as they're rocking back and forth, do you think that there's a venting in heaven? And Mark says, I don't know, Bruce. I don't know. Well, that night, the angels come and Mark Todd passes away and is off to heaven. And Bruce Davidson the next day is sitting by himself, rocking back and forth, missing his friend and just generally kind of sitting around, and a vision appears to him, and it is Mark Todd. He's standing there as a ghost, and Bruce Davidson says, Mark, you're here. And Bruce says, yes, I've come back to visit. And Bruce says, Mark, what's it like? Tell me, is there a venting in heaven? And Mark Todd says, I've got good news and I've got bad news, Bruce. The good news is there is a venting in heaven. There's a venting in heaven. The bad news is your ride time is at 8:40 in the morning.
Very good.
See, she laughed.
I did. It was very funny.
Because it's funny. I don't care. It's funny.
Bye, Victoria.
Bye.
All right, our next guest, we got him packed today. Our new guest booker, Denise, is doing the job here. This is a charity auction that's going on. We're heading to Ireland now. We're going to hear a little bit about that, but there's an interesting story behind it. And it's a charity, Hannah's Wilbury Wonder Pony. Say that fast. So we're going to call Kristen. Now, I have to do this live on the air, so... because we're calling.
Hopefully it works.
Hopefully. These things never work when I'm doing it live. So we're calling Krista, and as far as I know, it looks like she's in Ireland. We really have made our way around Europe today.
Pretty impressive, actually.
I know that we can do this and that.
Hello.
Is this Krista?
Tis, yep.
Hey, it's Jamie and Glenn with the Horses in the Morning Show.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, and you're on the air with us now. Thank you so much for joining us today. We started in France, and we went to England, and now we're in Ireland.
You are, yeah. So
we're all over the place. Now, I know we're talking to you about a charity event coming up. Tell us about it.
We are running an online charity auction at the moment, and then we'll be running a training clinic on the 7th of August, which will also have a charity raffle on the day. And the proceeds of both of these things are going to a charity called Hannah's Wilbury Wonder Pony.
Well, tell us about Hannah's Wilbury Wonder Pony.
Hannah Francis is an 18-year-old girl in the UK. She's a very good event rider, and she was diagnosed last May with osteosarcoma in her hip and spine, which is terminal. Hannah has taken her illness and basically used it to fundraise for other sufferers with osteosarcoma, and has since been able to set up a charity of her own. And the charity is called Hannah's Wilberry Wonder Pony. The proceeds from any fundraising events will go to the charity and will then be used for further research into osteosarcoma. But they will also be used to grant horsey-themed wishes of terminally ill people.
Wow.
And yeah, it's fantastic.
So this is a girl that's, what, 17, 18 years old, and she's
18 now.
Yeah. After that news, she has the wherewithal to start this and to do this whole project. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, she's been amazing. She's up until quite recently, she was still competing herself. She was at Tattersalls, where she was the guinea pig rider for the one-star and the two-star tests at the international three-day event there at the start of June. And after that, then she became quite ill. She actually had some problems and needed some surgery, and developed an infection and some complications. But throughout all of that, including her recent illness, her main focus has been on fundraising to help other people. And I think because of her incredible courage in overcoming what she faces every day, but her selflessness and her other people always being her long-term goal to help other people, she's really captured the hearts and imaginations of everybody involved in eventing in Ireland and England.
Well, now tell us what's the significance of the name Wilberry. I cannot say this. Wilberry Wonder Pony.
Wilberry Wonder Pony is a small stuffed toy that was given to Hannah when she started chemotherapy last year after she was diagnosed. He's just a little stuffed horse mascot. And Hannah had him to support her throughout her chemotherapy, so she had him with her. And it kind of grew from there. Now Wilberry and Hannah go off on, well, up until recently, they were going off on adventures together and doing things. They were meeting their horsey heroes, and they were at badminton and lots of different things like that. So Wilberry ended up becoming the mascot for the charity, and also the Facebook page and the Twitter account. And his Twitter account is Chief Chemo Pony, because he was with her, he's been with her throughout all of her chemotherapy. So it's the Hannah and Wilberry show, really. Where you have one, you have the other.
And you have a couple of things coming up. You have a clinic coming up with a three-star rider, Lindsay Graham, out. And that's in Ireland?
Yeah, that's in Ireland. It's in County Leash in Ireland. Lindsay's super. She came aboard with us earlier in the year. We did a fundraiser for flooding, for the Red Cross for flood relief in Ireland. And she's very supportive of these things. So she came aboard to help us with this. And she's an exceptional trainer, so really looking forward to the clinic on the day. It's already sold out. And we'll be selling raffle tickets and doing a prize draw on the day of the clinic. That's the next thing that's coming up. And the charity online auction we have running at the moment, that finishes up on the 20th of July at 9 o'clock in the evening. So we're hoping there'll be a good last minute flurry. Bids. It's been up for a week, and we've actually raised nearly €5,500 already.
Wow. And where can people find that?
It's on a site called Jumblebee.
Jumblebee.
Yeah, if you Google it, it's Jumblebee. And the auction is the Black Hill Eventing online, or a charity fundraiser for Hannah's Wilberry Wonder Pony.
And also,
and I'll find it there.
Our friend, Canadian Olympic rider Kyle Carter, is involved somehow.
Yeah, Kyle is fantastic. Kyle has donated two nights' livery and two lessons. So we have managed to get a good few bids over on the Florida side. And we're hoping that maybe a few more will push up the bid, and someone will be very, very lucky to enjoy that with Kyle.
And I think that's near us, isn't it, Jennifer? Kyle's here in Ocala. So
yeah.
So Americans can bid on that. That's something that they can do right here. Of course, all our European friends can bid over there on these various things. And what a great charity. And you know, our best to Hannah and all of her connections. And we're thinking about her.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for letting us know about this. And now a lot more people know, too.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it so much. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Krista.
Thanks. Bye.
Well, we had a variety of accents today. What an amazing story, though. An 18-year-old can accomplish all of that with what she's going through.
Just incredible. Yeah. Just incredible.
There's people a lot stronger than me out there, is what I've determined.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't take much.
No, I know. No. I agree.
I'm the same way, though. I mean, just to hear some of the inspirational stories, it just makes you feel good about the world we're living in.
Yeah, which we need right now.
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you what. This has been a fun show. We went around the world, literally. And it's good Wednesday. Jamie will not be here on Friday. Lisa Wysocki will be filling in. But we need ads. Send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Go to Craigslist. And we would love for you to send in some of your own recorded ads. That was fun last week. We had three or four of them. We want to even get more this week. You know,
Do you want me to record an ad and send it to you?
Yes, do that. Yeah, because that way we'll know you're with us in spirit on your way up to cooler temperatures in northern Arizona.
Yeah, thank God. Which reminds me, I need to go get on my dang horse now because it's already like 90. So,
well, thanks, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll have the Australian episode is back. Fiona is back. So we'll have an Australian episode for you. And then Friday will be Lisa Wysocki and I, and we will be doing really bad ads. So get them in. All right.
All right, everybody.
Take care, everybody.
Spay, neuter, gal. Have a great day. I got to get packing. Oh my God, I have so much to do.